Coming up on today's episode, the latest Disney news, including a bunch of Lucasfilm-related announcements from Star Wars Celebration. We're also taking on the last two brackets in round two of our best Pixar movie bracket. All that and more, plus our featured film discussion on Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on today's Plus or Bust. Welcome to episode 81 of Plus or Bust, a Disney podcast, where each week we watch a random movie on Disney Plus and decide whether we would recommend it a plus or not a bust. My name is Matt, and joining me today are my co-hosts, my sister Nikki.
Hello.
My wife, Carissa.
Present.
And my brother, Brady.
Hello.
Hello. How is everyone?
Pretty good.
Had better weeks.
Yeah, it's not been a great week.
No,
it's been pretty bad, actually, all things considered.
Quite scary.
Yeah. The world is bad. The world is bad. The country is bad, more so.
Yes.
The country. This country is bad. And, you know, the tragedy that happened in Texas and Buffalo and all the other places that tragedies are happening every single day, it's scary. And
it is scary.
We, you know, our hearts are with all the people involved. Not that that does anything, but, you know, reading about that stuff on the news all day can send you into a pretty bad spiral. So I definitely wouldn't want to be in their position. And I wish them all the best and hope that they can get closure and hope that the goddamn government does something for a change. But.
But we won't be holding our breath.
No. But I'm sorry for anybody who ever has to go through anything like that. Kind of makes me feel bad that we're going to spend most of the time talking about Star Wars instead of something important, but here we are. Hopefully it'll be a little distraction in the meantime. Does anybody have any gripes this week? Disney-related gripes? No? No gripes?
No.
All right, well, let's roll right into the news. So, Star Wars Celebration, it's currently happening in Anaheim, and we have a bunch of big Lucasfilm-related news for Disney+, mostly Star Wars, but a few other things as well. To start, we got the first teaser trailer for the upcoming series Andor. Andor follows the adventures of Rebel spy Cassian Andor during the formative years of the Rebellion and prior to the events of Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Diego Luna will reprise the role of Andor, which he originated in the 2016 film. The rousing spy thriller will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to a galaxy in the grip of a ruthless empire. Andor is set to debut on Disney Plus on August 31st, and unlike other Disney Plus original series, will be 12 episodes long. They've also confirmed that a second season of 12 episodes is already in development. However, that will be the only additional season, as it will lead directly into the events at the start of Rogue One.
I couldn't roll my eyes hard enough.
Did people who actually care about this sort of thing, not Carissa, did you guys watch the trailer?
No.
You didn't watch the trailer?
I watched it.
Not yet.
But I am excited for it.
I mean, it looks
I love Rogue One.
It looked like the others. It looked just like the other shows. I would say the thing is, I really liked Rogue One when I first saw it. My opinion of it has lessened over the years. I would have to watch it again. There's a lot of things in it I don't like. But I will say that the characters in that movie are such a blank slate that I feel like they can do something interesting with them in a series. Yeah. Like, I would rather have a series about Cassian Andor and, like, telling his story than another Luke Skywalker
focused story. So you'd rather story. Them tell a story about two people that you know are going to die versus making new characters?
Obi-Wan's dead and they're making a show about him, and I couldn't be more excited. Yes. I'm fine with that. I mean, we don't know. We met Cassian for 2 hours. It's fine if they want to tell more of that story. I don't need any more Luke or Han or Leia. I'm fine with Cassian. I don't need any more of those other characters. Would you be okay? Let me ask you this: would you be upset if they made a Rey series, even though she had three whole movies?
Rey hasn't died.
What does it matter if they're dead, if they go back to the past?
I don't want a prequel about Rey, not at all. Mm. If they continued the story with Rey after the fact, hell yeah, I'd be all over that shit.
Mm. Well,
if they continued Finn's story, I'd be all over that shit. If they continued Poe's story, I'd be all over that shit. If they can do combo. Oh.
He's dead. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I said it because he's dead. No, I... Any of the three, if they went forward, why? I'm so, like, you know how I feel about prequels. I hate prequels so much. I'm just like, I'm of the mind where if there is an end to something that you've already shown me, the beginning has almost, it does not matter to me. I already know how it ends. Why would I want to watch before? Even if you tell a completely different story, that does not matter to me.
Rogue One was already
a prequel.
This is technically a prequel.
Yeah,
a prequel.
I didn't like Rogue One either. I hate prequels. I feel like prequels are like, even the Disney, like, I know that all of the Disney, like straight to DVD movies were bad, but I loathed the prequel ones. Like, loathed those.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's a good thing you don't like Star Wars and you're not going to watch it anyway. So what does it matter?
I'm not going to watch it.
What does it matter?
I just talk to me when you're telling a new story.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, 4 years from now.
I don't know. The trailer.
Even The Mandalorian is technically a prequel because it takes place in the past.
It takes place between 6 and 7.
But it's not Not after Rise of Skywalker. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's get past Rise of Skywalker. Why are we going back in the past every 5 seconds? So it's like, it almost doesn't have any effect on the timeline because it's like, it doesn't even matter. Because
it's a big galaxy, Carissa. They can tell stories in any timeline so long as it's about characters I don't already know.
You already know these characters.
I know. Well, I guess. I don't know him enough, is my point. I'm fine with the Andor show. I have nothing against the Andor show. I'm going to watch it and all 12 of its episodes. It is weird that it's getting 12 episodes.
I watched the first episode of Obi-Wan with you.
There's two
episodes.
Yeah, two drop tomorrow.
I don't really care. That's if there's two, if I watch now. One and I find it boring as fuck, I'm not going to watch the second one. I don't have to watch one and two, but I'm going to watch one with you like I watch Boba Fett, and I'm going to tell you if I want to watch any other ones.
Are we going to talk about that show?
I mean, not if Carissa doesn't watch it.
Okay. Because I'm going to tell you, Stranger Things is more important to me.
Mm. Yeah, and that drops tomorrow too, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, if we're going to talk about Obi-Wan, we're going to talk about it next week. Only two episodes will be out.
Yeah. Speaking of The Mandalorian, season 3 is coming in February 2023. That's it. They showed
too late from now.
They showed for it during the convention, but did not post that one online, despite posting literally everything else online today. So I don't know what's so secretive about The Mandalorian. But it's coming in February. Presumably because there are 12 episodes of Andor they got to get through between August 31st and the rest of the year. So if you're looking forward to that, you have to wait. Lucasfilm has also confirmed that the long-running rumors that John Watts, director of the three most recent Spider-Man films, is currently developing a Star Wars series for Disney+. It is called Star Wars Skeleton Crew, and it is a series set in the New Republic era and tells of a group of kids lost in the Star Wars galaxy trying to find their way home. It was announced that Jude Law will star in the series, presumably not as one of the kids, and Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni will be executive producers. The series is expected to start filming this summer with a planned 2023 release date. Don't really have any more information on that one, but he said he's going for like an Amblin feel, so like an E.T. Jurassic Park sort of vibe. I guess we'll see how that turns out. Don't know.
Yeah, Carly Weisfeld made a post that said that it was funny that Jude Law is going to be the third one that's been on the show. That's going to be on a show that's been in Harry Potter, Marvel, and now Star Wars.
What was Jude Law in Marvel?
He was in Captain Marvel.
Yeah. He was the guy that was like bringing her down.
Yeah, he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh,
he was like her commanding officer.
Oh.
Who ended up being an asshole.
Oh. I can't remember.
She punches him at the end.
Oh. The other one is in Doctor Strange.
Mads Mikkelsen?
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen. Who's the other one? She said three.
There was one more. Who was it? Let me go find out, because now I can't remember.
Oh, my God. Well, while you figure that out, I don't have anything to say about the Skeleton Crew, because we don't know anything about it. But I'll watch it. We also received the first trailer for the long-in-development series Willow, which is a follow-up to the 1988 fantasy film of the same name. Picking up many years after the Ron Howard-directed film ended, the movie will follow Willow Ulfgood, assembling a new team of heroes to rescue the kidnapped twin brother of a princess. The series is set to premiere on November 30th, 2022 on Disney+. It looked good. I don't know anything about Willow. I haven't seen Willow. Willow's not, like, super popular. It has a decent following, and there's people that are nostalgic for it, but, like, it didn't become a long-running series. But I feel like Disney really wants something along the lines of, like, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. And this is, like, one of their attempts at it. It's like this and, like, Percy Jackson. And they've been trying to get, like, a Willow sequel off the ground since they bought Lucasfilm, because it's one of the things they got with it. I don't know. It looks fine. If you're going in expecting something like a Game of Thrones, don't, because it is not that. It's going to be much more family-friendly. But it seems to have high production values, and the acting seems good, so.
I didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah, it looks.
It was just those two.
Oh, okay.
I was mistaken.
So yeah, Willow. It looks fine. I'm sure it'll be good, but I, like I said, I've got no connection to Willow. I've never seen Willow. Maybe by then I'll have seen Willow. Who knows? And the movie that I don't believe exists, but now has a release date, Indiana Jones, the fifth one, that doesn't have a name yet, has a release date, no name. It's coming June 30th, 2023. They released an image. It's literally just a silhouette of Indiana Jones. Just let him rest, please. Stop putting Harrison Ford in movies.
I said he's too old.
The thing is, he likes Indiana Jones. He likes being Indiana Jones. It's his favorite character to play, which is the only reason I think they haven't recast him yet. But by the time this movie comes out, he's going to be 80 years old.
Yeah.
He's 79 right now. He's going to retire. 80.
Somebody said what they should do, that they should make it about the Fountain of Youth or something. And so then they have Harrison Ford there for like a minute. He drinks out of this fountain, and then it pans around and replaces him with a new, younger actor.
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich from Solo, a Star Wars story.
Let's say, fucking the dude from Solo.
Bada boom, bada bam.
Well, that whole thing, Kathleen Kennedy recently said, she was like, the thing we learned from Solo is that we probably shouldn't try to replace the original actors with new actors. We should just not, always use the original actors. And it's like, I get that sentiment, but the acting was not the problem with Solo, the Star Wars story. I actually think Alden Ehrenreich did pretty good as Han Solo. I felt like he had his mannerisms and stuff down pretty well. And he looks like him okay. Like, if he was the new Indiana Jones, I don't think... I mean, people would complain, but I wouldn't personally complain. But also, I wouldn't complain if they never made another Indiana Jones movie ever again. The ones we have are fine. But, we'll see. Hopefully it's the last one, but...
Or if they made a new Indiana Jones, then you could get a new character that's not Indiana Jones.
Well, Indiana is a nickname. So, like, it could be literally anybody. It can be Indiana Jones. Just name him Indiana Jones. I kind of feel like they might do that. Because, like, he's supposed to have, like, a younger, like, female, like, co-star, I think. So what if she's the new Indiana Jones?
Was Shia LaBeouf his son?
Yeah, and I think they were suggesting that he was going to be the next.
Oh, but that didn't happen?
That didn't happen. Because...
So what, in this one he's just gonna have died?
He's just, they'll mention him off screen.
He just won't be there?
He just won't be there, no. Interesting. But I'm saying, like, what if they... Maybe now he has a daughter, and she becomes the new Indiana Jones. Oh boy, that would piss off a lot of people.
Not me.
No, I'd be fine with it.
I'd laugh.
Yeah, me too. But that ends our... Thank you, fam. That ends our Star Wars Celebration segment of today's episode. Otherwise, some more entertainment news. Disney has announced that the much-anticipated sequel to the Disney Channel original movie series Zombies, Zombies 3, will premiere exclusively on Disney Plus on July 15th, a whole month ahead of its August 12th Disney Channel debut, which will have a special encore premiere featuring additional bonus footage and a brand new Lost Song musical number. Zombie 3 follows a group of space aliens who infiltrate the student body of zombies, cheerleaders, and werewolves at the series Seabrook High, with RuPaul set to voice the mothership, a comedically passive-aggressive UFO that brings the aliens to Earth. What is going on in the zombies film franchise?
I don't know. Gotta watch 1 and 2 and find out.
Aliens. I included this.
What they're gonna do with Fast and the Furious next?
Yeah, they're gonna be invaded by aliens. Sure, go for it.
And babies.
And babies, yeah. I included this because this seems to be what I think they're gonna start doing with all Disney Channel original movies.
Premiere on Disney Plus first.
Put them on Disney Plus first, and then on Disney
Channel. To entice people to get Disney Plus if they don't already have it.
Yes, I assume that's what they're gonna do with the Descendants spinoff. They're doing it with. They're starting with this one because other than Descendants, Zombies has been the most popular DCOM of the past however many years, so I don't know anything about it, except apparently now there are aliens, so cool.
That is so random.
Into that. The student body of zombies, cheerleaders, and werewolves are invading.
I think it was the first one. It was either the first one or the second one, and I just don't quite know.
The thing with zombies, it's like, maybe it's fun like Descendants was, but I can't get past how bad the, like, makeup on that, like, main zombie guy looks. He looks terrible. Like, he doesn't look like a zombie at all. Like, the production values were clearly higher in Descendants, so. Man. Alright, moving on from that. According to Variety, a new Daredevil series is currently in development for Disney+. Matt Corman and Chris Ord are attached to write and executive produce the brand new series. The pair have previously worked on Covert Affairs, The Enemy Within, The Brave, and Containment. I don't know what any of those are. Charlie Cox is set to return to the role of Matt Murdock slash Daredevil in the series and is rumored to appear in both She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, and Echo before the new Daredevil series begins. Vincent D'Onofrio, who played Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. the Kingpin, in both the original Netflix Daredevil series and Disney Plus's Hawkeye, is also rumored to be returning for both Echo and
so he's not dead.
Daredevil.
Spoilers.
Well, is Echo not sort of a prequel, sort of?
Oh my god.
Is it not?
I can't.
I think it's like both. I think it like goes back and forth, I think, is what I understand. So like he might be dead, but might not. But also if he's going to be in Daredevil, he's probably not dead.
No. So is that going to acknowledge the previous Daredevils? Or is this going to be a reboot?
I don't know.
Because that's weird.
They're
on the streaming service.
I don't know. But it's not going to be as violent. Ain't nobody going to get their head shoved through a fence like on
I don't know. I
Netflix Daredevil.
A fake Captain America kill a man with the shield.
That was not nearly as violent as the Netflix series were. Not nearly.
I don't remember them.
They were so violent.
No.
You don't remember that? He gets his head shoved through like a pike and you see it. It's not like Moon Knight where it's in shadow.
Who gets their head shoved through a pike?
A bad guy in Daredevil.
We were watching a video.
Criminal, I guess.
What was it? We were watching one of the like Screen Crush or New Rockstar videos about it mentioned Daredevil or whatever. Oh, it was She-Hulk. It was about the She-Hulk trailer and it mentioned a part of it showed a scene from Daredevil. And it was gross.
Yeah, all those shows are pretty violent. I didn't watch Punisher, but I assume that was the most violent because he is a man with guns. Who shoots you with guns? Brady, did you watch Punisher?
I never saw Punisher. That was the only one I hadn't watched.
You watched Iron Fist?
I watched part of Iron Fist and got bored.
Yeah, Iron Fist.
I may have only watched part of Defenders, too.
I didn't think Defenders was very good.
His parts in Defenders weren't even good, so like...
Yeah. Everybody keeps talking about how Charlie Cox is coming back, and then it's rumored that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are coming back, and Charlie Cox is also hyping up John Bernthal to come back, but I hope no one tries to bring back the Iron Fist guy.
I don't know that that's the actor's fault.
I think it's the actor, actually. I don't think he was very charismatic.
I don't think he was good for that part.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch it, so I can't comment on it.
Bring him back Doctor Strange style, where he gets killed off in 5 seconds.
Wow.
The when he was in Defenders, it just was not good. Not good.
Mm. Well, I guess we'll see. I like Daredevil a lot. I think Charlie Cox is great as Daredevil. Vincent D'Onofrio is one of the best performances in any superhero anything as Fisk. So, I'm looking forward to it, if it is in fact true. It's gotta be, right? There's writers attached.
Yeah, I'm sure it's true.
Marvel hasn't officially announced anything, but they got a lot of things going on, so I wouldn't be surprised. I fully expect him to show up on She-Hulk. Like, we've already set him up in the MCU as a lawyer in Spider-Man. This is a show about another lawyer. He's 100% going to be in that show. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just for an episode. He'll be in it. Maybe he'll be defending Spider-Man. Probably not.
Who?
Yeah, no. Who? No, we know Spider-Man. We don't know Peter Parker.
That's right.
Because in the Multiverse of Madness, they talk about Spider-Man, and that should be a big plot hole. But they don't say Peter Parker, they just say Spider-Man. So.
Right.
Another Disney Plus news. Baymax, the Big Hero 6, I guess they're shorts, is set to premiere on Disney Plus on June 29th. They released a new trailer for that. Looks cute. Baymax is Baymax. The animation is great. That's it. I got nothing else to say. I'll watch them.
So exciting.
Yeah. I love Baymax. Love Baymax. Ryan Porter, he's back as Hero. I didn't expect him to not come back, but he's back. None of the other characters shown, though. Just Baymax, Hero, and Aunt Cass. We don't know if any of the other six are returning.
I mean, that makes sense.
Well, it's about Baymax.
Isn't it about like, new people?
It's about Baymax going around like doing stuff. Oh. I don't even know how often Hero's going to be in it, to be honest with you. He was only in, like, two parts of the trailer, so.
About Baymax helping.
Yes, it's about Baymax being Baymax. And that is the first of the four Walt Disney Animation Studios animated series that they announced that is releasing, so. Baymax first, I believe, then Zootopia, then Tiana, then Moana.
But the Tiana and Moana will be...
Those are supposed to be long, like, actual series. Yes, Zootopia and Baymax are supposed to be shorts.
Oh, this is shorts? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
This is shorts. They only really say it in, like, press releases. They keep saying, oh, a new series coming to Disney Plus, but it's a series of shorts.
Well, that makes sense, because they had a Big Hero 6 show.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
They'll probably ignore. All right, Parks News, not a lot. Starting June 8th, Genie Plus will no longer be able to be purchased ahead of your Walt Disney World vacation, and instead must be purchased on the day of each day of your visit. Yeah, I said it right.
You said that correctly. Yeah, it sounded bad.
Yeah, it sounded bad, but that's what I meant. This means that moving forward, whether you have an annual pass, multi, or single day ticket, you may only purchase Disney Genie Plus service on the day of your visit via the app, one day at a time, subject to availability. They have said that Genie Plus can now sell out if demand gets too high, and they are still saying that you're only promised 2 or 3 attractions with Genie Plus. So getting Genie Plus has just become harder, because now you have to make sure that you do it nice and early in the morning to make sure that you can even get Genie Plus, and then log on to Genie Plus to make sure you can even get a reservation for an attraction that you want. Genie Plus is just the worst, and it just gets worse and worse all the time.
I just don't understand how there was a system in place before this. I don't understand how there's a new system and somehow it's just this much worse. I think it's just greed. I think they just were like, yeah, let's sell as many as we can, or however many we can, and it'll sell out. And who cares if people only get to ride 2 rides a day with this that they paid $60 for a family of 3, 4, or whatever. Just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad. I think that this is a good thing, because I think that it's going to be better for the people that do buy Genie Plus. Plus, theoretically, if less people are buying Genie Plus and they're being a little bit better about the numbers with the Lightning Lane, then technically standby lines should not be as bad as well. So, like, it could potentially help the situation a little bit better and make it a little bit more valuable. So, I mean, I think this is a good thing, but I just think it's, like, I don't get how they make something. And I don't understand how they just, how they did something so wrong.
They're always bad with any of their technological
things.
They
are, that's true.
They're bad with all of it. It's bad. They're bad at technology. They're bad at these systems. They are always bad. I don't know why they bothered to change it. They were just going to make it worse. Nobody
honestly
likes it. Everybody's mad about it.
You could have literally just left the exact same thing that was already in place, and then just charged for it. Fast Pass is no longer free. You got to pay this much money. Like, that's it. And then just made it the exact same way. I really dislike the 60 days, however many days in advance it was. I think that that's way too far out to try and decide your day, but it would have been better from jump. They've just been like, you only get three. If you use your three and there's some left over, you can still use it. And had the lightning, like, I feel like it just would have made way more sense. But so this is for world and land.
No, it's not for land yet.
Oh, so you can still buy it ahead of time, yes, with land. Oh, okay.
Yes, it's just Walt Disney World, where it is a bigger problem than in Disneyland.
Gotcha.
So,
except when it comes to Space Mountain.
Right. Well, Space Mountain's the most popular attraction in Disneyland, I guess.
I guess so.
Seems that way.
And speaking of Lightning Lane, we now know that Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind will cost anywhere between $14 and $17, depending on.
I'd have paid $25.
Okay. Well, they're charging $14 to $17.
I think that both Rise and Guardians are worth $25, which is my personal
opinion. Well, eventually they'll get there.
Well, they haven't raised the price yet. They need to.
They will, because they're making all the money in the world. Remember at that investment thing? They're like, yeah, Genie Plus, making so much money. We're rich. We don't care that it doesn't work. We're making money anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
we've already got your money by the time you figure out it doesn't work.
It's going to, I mean, hopefully it catches up with them, but
we'll see.
I think that's reasonable.
Disney has also announced that Disneyland Paris's Avengers Campus will open on July 20th, 2022 in Walt Disney Studios Park. We talked about this a little while ago, a couple episodes ago, but now it has release date, whatever. July 20th. Get ready to ride Rock and Roller Coaster, put Iron Man and Captain Marvel are there. And see the cool...
Oh, is that what...
Yeah.
That's what that new ride is?
Yes. It's Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh.
They rethemed it to Iron Man.
Do you know how different their Rock and Roller Coaster is from ours?
It's the same.
The exact same? Carbon copy?
Mm-hmm. It's the same.
How are they going to make that?
Iron Man? I don't know. But we'll find out. Projection screens of Iron Man and Captain Marvel flying next to you, probably. Mm. And a cool Iron Man robot.
I thought that was the new ride, like what we were supposed to get.
No, we're never getting that ride. They're getting the Spider-Man, they're getting the Web Slingers, and then they rethemed
Rock and Roller Coaster
to an Iron Man roller coaster.
So they, too, only get two rides.
Yes, they, too, are only getting two rides. And then a restaurant, it's like a... That's where that Hulkbuster armor that's in the restaurant, it's like a Stark-themed restaurant.
Oh, so it's not Pym's.
It's not Pym's, no. But it is Pym's food.
Oh, okay.
So the gimmick is the same. It's just it is not themed to Ant-Man.
Which makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
He's making food in Tony Stark's restaurant, I guess.
Oh.
But okay. It is still small and big foods.
Weird.
Yeah. There's like tiny burgers.
Pretty Benobi.
So if you're excited for that, that park really needs it. Because that park is apparently the worst Disney park on the planet. Walt Disney Studios park. That
for
is.
For now.
For now.
For now.
And then speaking of Disney parks that need help, Hong Kong Disneyland has announced that their highly anticipated nighttime spectacular, Momentous, will debut in mid-June. The Castle of Magical Dreams is brought to life once again with the debut of Momentous, a magical nighttime spectacular that will take guests on a heartwarming journey of life through the lens of Disney stories and multimedia elements, including projection mapping, water projections, theatrical lighting, lasers, choreographed water fountains, flames, pyrotechnics, and firework effects. It is the finale of a magnificent trilogy, as the castle debuted in 2020, and the first castle stage show, Follow Your Dreams, launched in summer 2021. The magical spectacle will light up the sky of Hong Kong Disneyland in the evening, inspiring guests and touching their hearts as it follows the lives of different characters with classic Disney music and new arrangements along with brand new multimedia experience. The show will invite guests to celebrate each stage of life and cherish the time spent with loved ones. Guests will sail through the journey of life through a series of 6 chapters, along with the images of approximately 150 Disney characters from almost 40 Disney and Pixar stories, including Tangled, Aladdin, Frozen, Coco, Zootopia, The Princess and the Frog, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and many more. If you've seen any of the images, it looks beautiful. The castle looks great with all the projections on it. That castle is nice and big now, mm-hmm. so the projections really pop on it.
Well, and they built it with, like, projection mapping in mind.
Right. I assume this will be better than Enchantment.
Yeah.
What? No.
it's hard.
To be worse?
Yeah. We went to Disneyland last week. Well, we went to Disneyland. We watched the 60th anniversary fireworks Disneyland Forever that's playing at Disneyland right now. And we didn't even watch them on the castle. We watched them on Small World. And I would take that over Enchantment literally any day.
Yeah, but those fireworks are, like, good.
Yeah, they're, that's like, my so point. Good. Those are supposed to be the 50th anniversary fireworks of Walt Disney World. They should be on par with the 60th anniversary fireworks from Disneyland, and they are not.
But, Krissa, brothers Ian and Barley Lightfoot from Onward are in it.
Well, sorry they couldn't save it. The only thing that they did right is the thing with Elsa. That's the only thing that the whole cool show does.
The best thing.
The one cool effect.
That was the one thing. Other than that, God, I mean, I just, if they don't bring back Happily Ever After the 50th anniversary, they're so stupid. They're just so stupid.
I kind of suspect they won't. I kind of suspect they're too stubborn. I feel like they're stubborn. They're going to stick with it. They're going to stick with this. They're going to stick with Harmonious.
Or they're going to get rid of it and bring back
Wishes.
And do Mickey's Magic.
Oh, Mickey's Mixed Magic. Why would they do that?
I'm just kidding. Just to not have any fireworks show.
Oh, maybe. They can afford it out there.
Yeah, I think it's also kind of like expected too. Like every single day. Because plus they're not in the middle of a city.
They are in the city.
Which we drove, we left on Saturday night. We couldn't get into the park. We were driving away as the fireworks were going off in Disneyland. And like, you really can hear and see those for like a long distance. We got all the way to Cane's and I could still hear them. I could still hear the booms. So I'm kind of like, I get why they...
That's why they're only allowed to do it on Saturday.
Yeah, they're only allowed to do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because, wow. I get that.
And soon they're going to have Fantasmic back, which also makes a lot of noise. So
yeah. I also, like, so we were in DCA on Friday, and we were, our plan was to go into Disneyland to do the fireworks and the second Main Street Electrical Parade, which took some planning. And I was really stressed out about it, but it actually worked out really well. I think it's because we're just so smart and we go to Disneyland all the time. Are you actually listening?
I'm listening to you. You're so smart and you go to Disneyland all the time.
So we came, we had a plan. We had a plan of action and we found a spot and it worked out very well. And we saw the fireworks and the only thing that got ruined it for me was your daughter, as usual. And we found a spot for the parade and then we watched that parade.
The best parade, yeah. Go on.
The what?
The best parade. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How was the finale float? Beautiful, wonderful.
It's so cute.
So cute.
I love those dolls. I love those dolls.
I think I like the dolls too. I don't think it necessarily fits with the rest of the parade. Which
it looks fine.
I don't know.
It looks like it fits just
also,
fine.
Also, like, I swear, like, there's no performers in this parade. There's like very few, and it just seemed like there was a lot of dead space in between the floats. And I mean, I can't.
They cut back on
performance. I haven't seen this parade in person since 2017. That was the last time that we saw this. The last time it was there, so I don't remember like how many performers there were before. Like it's not like it's like ingrained in my mind, but like I don't remember. I remember there being more than there was. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seemed like there was not that many people.
They've cut performers from every parade. Everyone. I mean, that's why they have
cavalcades and stuff. Like, I get it. But I think that that has everything to do with why this parade was the one that came back. Not necessarily over Paint the Night. I think Paint the Night is just costs too much money. I think that the maintenance probably costs too much. The fact that you do need more performers. But I think that's probably what's keeping Magic Happens away. Because that one also has a good amount of performers. I mean, I'm talking the only performers in this parade were that I remember.
Were the donkeys that tried to steal Nikki's child?
Yeah.
Donkeys.
That was so funny. Oh my god. I didn't eat. She says she saw them going up to little boys to ask them to come, but I didn't see that. So all I saw was this guy come up to Alexander. Just like, let's go. And just,
oh, the donkeys from the Pinocchio section of the floor.
Yes.
Yeah.
They tried to take Alexander.
It's pretty funny.
Such an ugly float.
That float is ugly. The one with the big head. Big scary head. Yeah, that float is ugly.
Yeah, we were. It's funny because we were talking about... Like, I was telling Samantha why, you know, like, why it was funny and explaining to her how we watched Pinocchio. I think she said, have you watched it? And I was
recently,
like,
two
yeah.
years ago.
Well, I mean, recently enough. And she was like, yeah,
because
Stella really likes that movie. And I was just like.
Pinocchio?
Yeah.
How does a child like it? That's terrifying.
She's five.
It's terrifying.
She
doesn't. Scary.
I don't think she understands the themes, obviously. But whatever.
Even if you don't understand the themes, there's a part where Pinocchio was laying face down in the water, dead.
She said that she likes. She's a child.
Anyways, I like Pinocchio too. I gave it a plus. Nikki's the only one who doesn't like it. I like Pinocchio.
I mean, regardless, though, we were talking about how watching it as adults, how fucking creepy and gross it is.
How fucked
and,
up it is.
Yeah, it's just. There's a lot of parts in it that are just like, what the fuck?
And they're making a remake of it with everybody's favorite uncle, Tom Hanks.
Great.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That we're going to watch for this podcast.
Great.
Nikki's so excited. She's so thrilled.
I've never been more excited for anything.
So excited.
Yeah, we also did the dessert party.
For?
World of Color. It was $90 and it was worth every penny.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The desserts, not themselves, were not worth every penny.
No.
We didn't even really eat, like, all of them. And I had two plates. Because your daughter wouldn't eat, like, any of it. She ate the grapes.
But World of Color was working. I was having some problems. Like,
a
week
before
you went.
There was a few fountains that I think were off. But other than that, it was fine. It was working. Normal. We had the perfect spot, except for Nikki, because she was in front of one of those little globe things, but we moved the table over, so I think she was fine after that.
Yeah.
So.
Alexander seemed to like it.
We did get there kind of late, though, so that was kind of like, our...
Well, we also didn't realize.
Yeah. It was gonna take so long. We were busy riding meters and Luigi's, but even getting there late was fine too, because it wasn't like, you know, it's just they stop serving when the show starts, so if you want to take advantage of the, I think it was unlimited booze?
Yeah, the drinks and stuff are unlimited, I think.
Right, which, I mean, surprise, I'm pregnant, so I couldn't drink anything. Nikki had a baby, and she's also breastfeeding, so she couldn't really drink anything.
Yeah, she could've.
And your mom is a lightweight, so... She wasn't going to have more than one, and Aubrey's a child, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
Nikki could have drank. She could have drank.
I mean,
Mom didn't like it.
She didn't like it. They were also very small, so, like, what, she probably could have had one.
She didn't like the alcohol?
No, she didn't like the drink.
She said it was too strong.
Oh. Too strong. It's Disneyland.
Well, if you don't drink... She thought the drinks in Oga's Cantina were strong, too.
They were not strong at all. I don't drink
okay,
ever.
Okay, heavy drinker.
Yeah, I don't drink ever in the drinks in Oga's were not.
I drink very, very seldomly, so, like, I can always taste it when it's super strong, too, so.
Brady, were the drinks in Oga's Cantina strong?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Brady drinks, though. Brady drinks more than you.
I know, that's why I'm asking him. He would know. Because he's a lush.
I don't... I don't.
When was the last time you drank?
I'm just kidding. He's not a lush.
Me?
Yeah.
Hocus Cantina.
When did we go to Hocus Cantina?
So then he doesn't drink that much.
You don't have like a beer or anything at like the shop?
We do have beer and stuff at the shop, but I never really get it because it's too cold.
He's also working.
I mean, it's too hot, so that shit dehydrates you.
He's also working, so
he's working for Brandon. He can drink.
I think he's responsible enough to not drink while he's
know.
Working.
I'm just kidding. I'm just curious because of everybody here, Brady drinks the most, but apparently not because he has also hasn't had a drink since August canteen.
I literally keep saying I bought a 6-pack for some kind of party or something that we were having, and it's still sitting in my refrigerator, and it expires in June.
Oh no!
Drink up, boy.
Anyways, point is, nobody was gonna drink except for your mom, and she couldn't even get through her one. So,
and you had a sorry, and you had a good time. Otherwise, it was worth it. It was worth the money
to go to Disneyland.
I mean, both.
Oh, yes, it was worth the money to go there.
I was telling mom, I said, I think one of the things that I would really like to do is, that I would spend the money on wouldn't be like the parade or anything, but I think I would spend the money to watch, Fantasmic.
Yeah, I think I would too, especially if we were doing it with the kids.
And because we haven't seen it in so long.
I've never seen the new one, so yeah. I think I would pay to do the Fantasmic thing too. I think that's probably going to be the way that we like do that kind of stuff. You know, it's like we'll do the dining or the dessert or whatever it is, the like one time, like once every couple years. Because like I'm not going to try and get a fucking virtual queue for World of Color. A way to ruin it.
Who knows how long that's going to be, though.
Though Samantha did get one. I saw her at it. Hmm. So good for her. But she also has a... No, wait. She has a new iPhone. Huh. Good for her.
Good for you, Samantha. You and your love for Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yeah, she does. She said that her dad like got her the VHS for it. So she has like a lot of nostalgia for that
parade. A lot of people have a lot of... It's 50 years old! It's a lot of people that have nostalgia.
Well, I told her, I was like, I don't even like this friend. She's like, why? And I was like, well, because I saw Paint the Night first.
She was like, we're no longer friends.
And she was like, what's Paint the Night? And I was like, well, it's like the predecessor to this parade. And it's really good.
No, it would be the successor. The predecessor.
Oh, would successor.
Main Street Electrical Parade would be the predecessor to.
Well, I said the wrong word then. And I told her that it makes this parade look like.
Good. It makes it look like good. It is good. It's a good parade. We like it.
They
changed them. They're the lights themselves are not 50 years old.
They're so old.
It's good.
It's so old.
Well, you sure did spend an awful lot of money on Main Street Electrical Parade merchandise for someone who doesn't like it.
For you!
Yeah!
At least you got some merchandise. I got a wishable. Well, I got two wishables.
You got a necklace, and then you got the pin that you wanted last time.
Hey, you got more than I did. I got the pin, and I got three wishables. I got four wishables, but one of them was the same one twice.
Yeah, I got two wishables. I have Elliot, and I have the necklace, and I have the pin, but I want the buckets and the spirit jersey that I'm never going to
get. The buckets
You don't know that, because...
Why did you say you wanted the spirit jersey? They had the spirit jersey.
They didn't have any big enough.
Oh.
Yeah, everybody knew I wanted the spirit jersey.
I didn't. I'm sorry, I don't keep a list of everything you want, Brady.
They only had smalls and extra smalls.
Oh, okay. I was like, I saw it for sure. I saw the jersey, but I didn't look at sizes.
Always small and extra small.
Well, I think that's what happens.
Nobody can wear those.
Like, they only get a box of something, because that's how retail is. They literally ship shit to you. You get half of it, and then the next week or the next shipment, you get the other half. So like that makes sense.
But they'll be restocking it all year. That parade's not going anywhere.
They'll be restocking it for the next 30 years because that parade's not going anywhere.
Correct. You're correct.
Not if I get to it first.
There you go.
You're willing to be banned from Disney for life
if I get caught.
Who knows? The Main Street Electrical Parade popcorn bucket and sipper will end up coming back and be like the Star Wars ones.
Oh, be around everywhere forever?
I mean, if they're smart, they would make that many, but...
They said the turtle sipper was coming back.
I thought they said both of them were coming back. I thought they said all this stuff was coming back. It's just not all here yet because it's all in a boat somewhere. Exactly, exactly. Or in Walt Disney World, they stopped there first and they saw how much they could sell over there. Because they're like, hey guys, we know you're not getting this parade, but here's some merch so that you can remember about the fact that you don't have a nighttime parade.
I love the 50th anniversary for Walt Disney World because, like, it sucks so bad that they have to sell Main Street Electrical Parade 50th merch, a parade they don't have, and Disneyland Paris 30th merch, a park that is not in the United States. They're selling all that stuff at Disney World so you can celebrate better celebrations.
I mean, you're not wrong. I honestly, like, I think it should have gone to the Walt Disney World. I think that made way more sense for it to go over there.
It was already here and they didn't want to ship it.
Yeah, but like, how much could it possibly cost? You need to save your 50th celebration. It sucks. It sucks.
they didn't think it was going to suck.
It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. I mean, that's the consensus. And I think they're going to hit a real lull after the 50th. And I think after Epic Universe, they're going to hit an even more of a lull. And they just haven't learned their lesson yet because they keep seeing green with all this money that they're making from Genie Plus. But man, the reckoning is coming. I feel it in my bones.
The reckoning is coming. And it's a portly plumber from Japan.
Yeah.
I said that Matthew might love a little bit more.
Than what? Everything? Correct.
Everything.
I think you only have this much passion and love and excitement for Mario because you don't have anything like that now. Like, I feel like let's say that we were not as fortunate as we are, or, like, we just never went to Disneyland, or, like, let's just say, like, you were as into Disney as you are, but you had never been to Disneyland or Disney World until, like, right now. You would be so excited. Yeah, you would be super. That's what I'm saying. I think you're just excited. You want to say that you like Mario better because you don't have anything like Disneyland for Mario.
I've always wanted a, like, Nintendo theme park. Like, yeah, ever since I was a kid, I've wanted a Nintendo theme
park. But I'm saying, you say you like it better. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's just the fact that you go to Disneyland all the time. You've been to Disney World multiple times now.
Wait, when did I say I like the Mario theme park better than Disneyland? I never said that.
You just said you like Mario more. You just said that.
Mario, like, as a brand.
You do like Mario better than anything Disney?
God, I don't know. Mario's pretty high up there on my list. Disney encompasses a lot. Mario is Mario. What am I rating it against? Individual Disney things? Like, do I like Mario better than Aladdin? I don't know. Do I like Mario better than Toy Story? I don't know.
Well, I would say, like, Star Wars? Nintendo versus Disney.
Nintendo versus Disney? That's so hard, though.
Is it?
It's pretty hard.
I didn't think that this was, like, a thing for you.
Krista, those are the only two halves of me I have.
That's the left side and the right side. You take away one, you take away a whole side of it.
I guess I am sitting in a room full of...
Nintendo
things. And Angry Birds.
That's... You bought that on clearance.
On a Disneyland trip, so technically it's a Disney product.
It isn't.
Did you say Angry Birds?
Yeah.
I have an Angry Birds blanket because we were driving on to a Disney trip once.
We were driving back home.
And Krista didn't have a blanket, so we went to Target and it was on clearance, so she bought an Angry Birds blanket.
And we still have it.
And I still have it. It's currently covering up my window.
Wow, I'm surprised. I mean, Carissa not having a blanket.
I know.
That was back before she had 100.
That was back before I had a lot of blankets. But I still always took a blanket, and I forgot a blanket, and I wanted a blanket.
That Sonic blanket that we have, you also bought on a Disney trip because you didn't have a blanket. The thing is, Disney just encompasses more. There is more of Disney. Okay. Especially since they have bought other things that I've loved for a long time, like Star Wars and Marvel and The Simpsons and The Muppets. Basically, the only thing that I love that Disney hasn't bought is Nintendo. So, like, I guess it has to go to Disney because there is more of it. But Nintendo is the only thing that rivals Disney to me.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that I don't think you should say that you're going to like Nintendo Land better than anything at a Disney park.
I'm not saying that I will.
Okay.
I don't know that. I've never been there.
Okay.
But I'm saying that my argument is more so that joke wasn't necessarily because of me. It's because I think of all of Epic Universe, I think Nintendo is the biggest draw.
Yeah, no, I think it is
for
too.
The general public.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I think the general public is just going to be excited to have a new theme park.
Yeah.
Like, that's exciting because Universal makes good theme parks. But, like, I think of those lands. Like, the Wizarding World, like, is super popular, but it's kind of in a not a great place right now. The Universal Monsters, I think that land is a sleeper. I think that could end up being the best land in the park.
But it is kind of niche still.
Yeah, it's not very, it's super old.
It's not a broad thing that people are going
to... Right, and it's super old. How to Train Your Dragon, that's more so going to be like the kids' land. I think right. Nintendo...
is going to be the pull.
Right, Mario is going to be the pull because, you know, Nintendo's been around making video games for 40 years. There's people of all ages that love Mario and Donkey Kong. Yeah. So, like, I think that is the big draw. In my opinion, for Epic Universe.
I think so, too, and I hope that it puts a huge dent in Disney's attendance.
I think you could make a whole Nintendo theme park.
You could. I wish they did.
Nintendo just is not owned by Universal. It's a license. Animal
Crossing, no.
All in, really, between, yeah, Animal Crossing, yes. Between,
Zelda.
Between Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon, that's really all you need.
Yeah.
And the original rumor for it, like, the original plans, quote-unquote, did include...
Right?
No, the original plans for when they made the Nintendo license for Universal, there was, like, a leaked plan, and it originally included, like, Mario, Zelda, Pokemon,
and
Kirby. We'll see. For now, they're just opening with Mario and Donkey Kong. Either way, that's not... The point is, I think that's the big draw. I think Epic Universe... I think Disney... is underestimating Epic Universe.
Absolutely.
At least Disney Corporate is underestimating Absolutely. Epic Universe. Absolutely. I think they just still underestimate Universal, even though they shouldn't.
I don't think they should either.
Yeah. I think when it comes to some things, but for the most part, no.
Yeah, but Universal, like, even though they do put out dumb shit like the Jimmy Fallon ride or the Fast and the Furious Supercharge, I mean, they're still putting out, you know, the Hagrid or the Velocicoaster... Or the Bourne Stuntacular is like a smaller thing that they made that is apparently really, really good. Disney doesn't even have a that.
How
where's
about that?
Yeah.
Where's the Disney's Bourne Stuntacular? They're not even doing that. I don't. I think Disney's they're in for an awakening. They're in for a reckoning. That's what you said. Mm-hmm. It's their reckoning, and we'll see if they can even handle it because they're so behind already. They could, even if they announced 10 rides for Walt Disney World tomorrow, they wouldn't be done in time for Epic Universe.
No, they wouldn't, because it would take 20 years to build it. When did Tron get announced? 2017?
It's been 5 years, so yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you guys had a good time at Disneyland. This conversation has spiraled into 8 other conversations. Right. We have to move on. We're going to move on to the last round of our Pixar bracket. Best Pixar movie bracket. Hope you're excited.
No.
Last week, Inside Out beat the first Toy Story. And Coco beat Pixar's latest, Turning Red. This week, it's the brothers, Ian and Barley Lightfoot, up against the family par, The Incredibles.
I'm going onward.
Bold choice. Onward is the bold choice.
Wait, you said
Onward versus the Incredibles. The first Incredibles.
Didn't we just do this?
No, they did. It was Onward versus Incredibles 2.
Oh, how did that end up? That's stupid.
That's just how it ended up.
Oh, well, yes. My vote is still for Onward. Even if I'm the only one.
Nikki, you said Incredibles?
Yes.
Brady? Brady. Did he die?
I'm going Onward.
What?
Because Incredibles 2 is better than the first Incredibles.
Wow. Oh. Do I really have to do another poll of Incredibles versus Onward?
People are gonna think, no, because it already won.
People think I'm going to be that I'm nuts.
Yeah, because I don't think I can ask Mom. Because
I'm voting.
I mean, we watched Onward, but.
Because I'm voting Incredibles.
Aubrey, do you remember Onward? You remember
you
it?
You can ask them.
What is it? Who is in it?
It's like Ghost.
Nope. Incorrect.
Ghost? What movie's like Ghost?
Does she remember what The Incredibles are?
Do you remember what The Incredibles is?
Yeah.
What's The Incredibles?
Superpowers.
Oh. Which one did you like better?
Incredibles.
Incredibles? Okay.
Incredibles?
She doesn't count. She doesn't remember Onward.
We'll have to take it to the internet, I guess. But this is so stupid. I can't believe Onward is putting up such a fight.
Onward. Onward.
Well, look for that poll, I guess. Onward has proven to be a real sleeper in this in this tournament, because I feel like most people do not care about this movie. But that is interesting.
I really like Onward.
I liked Onward, too. I think that there's a few things I would say, like, I would have changed. But, like, I really liked the premise of it. And I thought it was a touching story.
I think it is a touching story, too.
The end just really gets me.
I like Onward too. My thing with Onward is, like, I do think it's a very touching story. I feel like it doesn't use its fantasy setting to, like, its full advantage. And I feel like it only has a fantasy setting so that it, like, stands out a little bit more. Because, like, the director wanted to make just a really personal story because, like, he didn't know his dad, like, and he only had, like, a cell phone, like a, it was basically the same thing.
Oh.
Like, how...
Oh, that's so sad. You're gonna make me cry.
How Ian only has the voice recording. Isn't it just, like, hello or something like that?
Yeah.
That's all that Ian has of his dad. And the director of the movie was the same. He just had, like, a voice recording of his dad. And he, like, it's a very personal story to him, and I think that's great, and I think I'm glad he got to tell such a personal story. But I feel like they got, like, nervous that, like, people wouldn't care about, like, an animated story if it was just, like, humans, you know, going on this kind of journey.
Maybe his dad was also really into Dungeons and Dragons.
So they added this, like, fantasy element on top of it, but I feel like it's only, like, the fantasy element is only, like, half there. I feel like it could have gone more with that.
I feel like that's what makes a good Pixar movie, though. The blend between the, like, whatever they use to tell the story. Like, same thing with Inside Out. Like, Inside Out, at its core, is just about the different emotions. And, like, the story with Riley and watching her is what gives you that, like, emotional pull towards it. So I think you can make that argument about all of them.
Sure. But I feel like Inside Out, like, the emotions are at least, like, at the focus. I feel like the fantasy elements are kind of pushed to the back and Onward, outside of it being a spell that brings the dad back.
But the dad part isn't until the very end. Like, that's the whole reason they're on the quest, but the whole time the quest is about them around all the...
I guess. That's just how I feel, anyway. But I do like Onward. I won't be upset if it wins, but I've liked The Incredibles for a long time, and I like The Incredibles a lot. I think it's really good. I love the family element of The Incredibles. I love I like Syndrome a lot as a villain. I love the idea of, like, you know, he really looked up to Mr. Incredible, and then, like, he gets slighted by Mr. Incredible and, like, becomes, like, the villain. The whole, like, if everyone's super, nobody will be. I like the, like, concept of, like, what makes a super a super. I like the supers being outlawed. I think there's just a lot of good stuff in The Incredibles. I think there's a lot of good storytelling in The Incredibles.
I think there is, too, and I think The Incredibles... Both 1 and 2 are pretty solid stories. For me personally, the thing that puts them a little bit behind is, which is kind of funny when you compare it to Onward, but I just feel like now we're in a state where we've had 20-something Marvel movies.
But
so
Incredibles was before the Marvel movies.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying that just superheroes in general have just been so oversaturated in our media now. So, like, we've seen 20-something other superhero movies. So, like, at its core, Incredibles is a superhero movie. So, like, that's what it is. At its core,
it's a family. It's about a family that just happened to be superheroes. I think that's what makes The Incredibles as good as it is the family dynamic, especially in that first one. I think the family, like, there's so many good scenes between just the family. And, like, you could argue that, like, that's what makes the MCU movies good, is, like, you can argue that the Avengers are, like, a found family, and there's Guardians, that's the whole thing with Guardians, is they are a found family. So, like, you could make that argument about them, too, but I just, this isn't about the MCU, this is about Pixar, and I personally, I like The Incredibles a little bit more. I'm just saying that
for me personally, that's what makes it, that's why I'm gonna lean towards Onward, because the fantasy stuff is the stuff that I like better, so I think Onward's better. Right. I liked Onward. I thought Onward was good. I want to watch it again. I don't know. I think it's worthy of the caliber of a lot of the other movies. But I think that because of COVID, it definitely got
overshadowed.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we were in such a weird time at the time when it came out. And, like, that's easy. And wasn't it the first one that they put on Disney Plus too?
Yeah, it released in theaters.
For, and like, then, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then the pandemic hit, and it
came out. So, like, you would think that it would have had, like, the, kind of like the
boost.
What do you call it? Encanto effect, where everyone's home watching it, and everybody watched it, but
people were preoccupied, though. It came out at the beginning of the pandemic.
That's the thing.
Nobody, like, wanted to watch movies. Right. They were too busy everybody being scared.
Or be on TikTok
and
stuff. Putting it off their
packages
and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of hurt it, and that's why it didn't have, like, a fair shot. So I don't think we really know.
Watch it in theaters?
What?
Didn't you watch it in theaters?
Yes.
Yeah, with your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, the last Pixar movie I saw in theaters was Toy Story 4. Didn't see Onward.
Right. Shame.
All right, well, we'll have to take it to a vote. We'll see. My Twitter people are going to think I'm nuts. All right. But
why don't you explain? That way they can listen.
I'll explain. I explained it the last time.
Okay.
All right. The final bracket in round two. Finding Nemo versus Toy Story 2.
Finding Nemo. Oh, wait.
Toy Story 2.
No, I'm going to go Finding Nemo.
Okay.
Everybody else is going to pick Toy Story, so it doesn't really matter.
Brady, where are you leaning?
Finding Toy Story.
Just say it. Just say it.
No, I'm really thinking about this one because I
think Finding Nemo is, like I said before.
I think Finding Nemo is a masterpiece.
Classic, yeah.
I think Finding Nemo is a masterpiece. I think it's, but I also think Toy Story 2 is a masterpiece. That's the problem.
I don't think
that still talks about Finding Nemo.
If you pick Finding Nemo over Toy Story 2, you are insane, because Toy Story 2 is the best of the series you call your favorite.
Yeah, but I think it's the third best of the series I call my favorite.
I mean, honestly, like, again, this is the way I think about it. 50 years from now, people are going to be talking about Finding Nemo still. They're not going to be talking about Toy Story 2.
I think 50 years from now, the first three Toy Story movies will still be remembered.
What did Toy Story 2 do that, like...
I think the second three Toy Story movies Jesse. Will be.
You're alone in that situation.
That's not an argument, okay? Like, I hate Jessie. I didn't even like her in Toy Story 2. And her stupid sad song, like, did not like her.
I was leaning towards Finding Nemo, but now I'm voting for Toy Story 2.
That's fine. Whatever you want to do. I already know you're going to vote whatever you think is best because of whatever you like.
I think
not versus if something is better or
because this
whatever.
Is,
this you're going to go based on your own personal opinion. Yeah, it's an opinion, go ahead.
An opinion-based podcast, and I'm voting for Toy Story 2.
Go ahead.
I think Finding Nemo is a masterpiece. I think
Toy Story 2 is a masterpiece.
I think
Talk about Nemo now. You're not even allowed to watch Nemo anymore because you think Toy Story 2 is just so much better.
That is not true. I didn't say it was so much better.
You just picked it over it.
I mean, I am picking it over because you irritated me.
I don't care. You irritate me every time this argument comes up because you act like it's like the best of the best. And it's just, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
Toy Story 2 is an incredible film. Finding Nemo is also an incredible film. I think this is one of the hardest brackets so far.
You really think that when people think of, like, some of the top Pixar movies, they think about Toy Story 2 over Finding Nemo? People love Finding Nemo.
People love Toy Story, Carissa. How many Toy Story-themed rides are there in...
How many Finding Nemo rides are there?
Less than Toy Story.
Ew.
No.
Crush's Coaster?
There's Crush's Coaster, and then Tokyo also has a Finding Nemo ride.
Oh, what is the Finding Nemo ride in Tokyo?
What are you doing?
It's...
Is it a carousel?
No, it's, it used to be... It's a simulator.
It used to
be called something. What was it called? I don't remember what it was called, but it used to be a different ride where it was, like, simulating... It's like a Star Tours-type simulator-ish thing.
Yeah.
And you're, like, in a submarine or whatever. It used to be something else, and they changed it a few years ago to be Finding Nemo instead. So, that's what it is now. But yes, there is a... There's Finding Nemo rides in almost every park. But there's Toy Story rides in... there's four... There's four different Toy Story lands.
Okay, but think about it this way. There's four Toy Story movies, and they have, like, they have lands or whatever. But in Finding Nemo, there was only one movie for a very long time. And it's got rides in every park. All I'm saying is that specifically, Finding Nemo is more important to people than specifically Toy Story 2. Not Toy Story as a whole, not the whole franchise, not one, not three, not four. Just Toy Story 2. That's all I'm saying. That's my point.
I think it's entirely possible where if you ask somebody, what's your favorite Toy Story movie, you're going to get 100 different answers.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So if you're like, if we're comparing specifically the first Finding Nemo to Toy Story 2. So I'm saying
that I think Toy Story 2 is just as important to certain people as Finding Nemo is to certain people. That's what I'm saying.
Find me, like, I want, like, 20 people that are like, oh, yeah, Toy Story 2 is just way more important to me than Finding Nemo.
Well, I know on the Blank Check podcast that I listen to, Griffin Newman, his favorite movie of all time is Toy Story 2.
Okay, you got 1. You got 19 to go.
Toy Story 2.
I should be asking my sister for some of these. I really should see what she says.
She
doesn't even know about this.
When she picks Toy Story for everyone, you're going to fight with her then?
She doesn't even know about the whole, even the Frozen Toy Story thing. So she literally would be going into it completely blind. I'm going to make her pick right now.
All
right,
well, Toy Story 2 is going to go on to face either Onward or The Incredibles. One of those movies, I would absolutely pick Toy Story 2 over. The other one, probably not. So we'll see how it goes. We have to move on to our movie, though. We have to. Because we got to talk about this movie. We got to talk about it. It's a crazy movie.
And now, our feature presentation.
So we're moving on to our featured film discussion. This week, we are talking about the recently released Disney Plus original, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Dale. Chip. Hey.
Yep. It's me.
Cool.
Yeah, I called Dale for help also. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be okay? I mean, it is okie dokie artichokey.
Artichokey? For real?
Yes, artichokey.
So you're not still mad about all the stuff with, you know, 00 Dale and Rescue Rangers getting canceled?
Mad? Nah. I'd be pretty pathetic to care about something from that long ago.
Oh, okay. I mean, you can care a little if you want to. I mean, I care, but... So, what's been up with you?
Oh, you know, this, that. Other vague things to fill the space of this conversation.
Okay, well, you look the same.
Yeah, thanks. And you look different.
Ah, hey, it's no secret I had the CGI surgery done, and it's done wonders rejuvenating my career. I'm actually starring in a play tonight. But man, I tell you, the real hot ticket is Rescue Rangers. There's even some buzz about a reboot. Someone started a Facebook fan page for it and everything.
Crikey, a Facebook fan page? I don't just give those away.
Oh, he's full of it, Monty. No one's talking about a Rescue Rangers reboot except for him.
What? The fans are hungry for it.
Look, I came here to help Monty, not get caught up in some Hollywood nonsense. So, great to take this skip down memory lane, but I've gotta go. Monty, if you're really in trouble, you know how to find me. Dale, you were also here.
Spoilers ahead for Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Let's read the description on Disney+. A comeback 30 years in the making. Chippendale Rescue Rangers catches up with the former Disney Afternoon television stars in modern-day Los Angeles. In this hybrid live-action CG-animated action comedy, Chippendale are living amongst cartoons and humans in modern-day Los Angeles, but their lives are quite different now. It has been decades since their successful television series was canceled, and Chip has succumbed to a life of suburban domesticity as an insurance salesman. Dale, meanwhile, has had a CGI surgery and works the nostalgia convention circuit, desperate to relive his glory days. When a former castmate mysteriously disappears, Chip and Dale must repair their broken friendship and take on their Rescue Rangers detective personas once again to save their friends. Released in 2022, directed by Akiva Schaffer, starring Andy Samberg, John Mulaney, Eric Bana, Kiki Lane, Flula Borg, Dennis Haysberg, and others like Seth Rogen and J.K. Simmons, and a lot of big names that they just didn't mention here at all, but all right, sure, whatever. Tress McNeil, but all right, fine. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. What do we think of this? This, whatever this is.
I didn't hate it, but I don't need to watch it again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Brady?
I really enjoyed this movie. How many times did you watch it, Matt?
I watched it twice. I watched it the day it came out because people were already spoiling the cameos online. And then I watched it again with Carissa because she had not seen it because she was in Disneyland. Having a better time than watching this movie.
Okay. I watched it twice, too.
I liked it a little better the second time, I'll be honest.
It's very good.
I don't know that I would say very, but I didn't hate it. There are parts of it that are a lot of fun, and there are parts of it that are like, what? What? This is not great. Not good. Some weird implications for some of the things in this movie, to be sure. But Krista, I know you didn't like it. A real Toy Story of a movie for you. How did you feel about it?
Oh my god.
Just kidding. You like Toy Story movies better than this movie. Go on, tell me how you felt.
I didn't like this movie. I thought it was... Okay. I think, first of all, I have to preference it with, I don't have as much affection for the Disney Afternoon as a lot of people do.
You have no affection for Disney Afternoon.
I would have to say that I probably watched the Rescue Rangers show the least of all of them. I didn't even know who Gadget was. For the longest time, I thought Gadget was, when Matt would refer to Gadget, I thought he was talking about Inspector Gadget.
Nope, not Disney.
Didn't know that. See, I didn't know. So what was it, Nickelodeon? Is that where I watched that show?
Inspector Gadget would have aired on Nickelodeon, but it was not a Nickelodeon show.
Oh.
It was just another animated studio. Well,
basically, I didn't. So going into this, I have no nostalgia for it. I have no affection for it. I don't think about it in that way. So I feel like I need to say that before I say what I have to say. So, like, a lot of the, like, the references and all that stuff, like, I feel like it was, like, just, like, unnecessary fluff. And then, to me, when you take all that away, what they could have done was come up with, like, a good plot. And they didn't do that either. They came up with a basic, predictable plot that we've seen a million times in a million different movies. So it's like the fluff didn't get me and then the plot didn't get me. So like I didn't laugh while I was watching this movie. I didn't find Chip or Dale interesting. I felt like I cannot stand when they make like the two main characters fight, but they're like supposed to be best friends. Like I hate that shit. Because it's like, why do I want to watch a movie where the two main characters who are supposed to be working together don't want to work together? Or like, I don't even remember which one. I don't remember if it's Chip or Dale. Chip keeps trying to be like, oh, we're just going to do this one thing and then I'm done with this forever. And then I'm done with you forever. Like, I hate that shtick. It's like, it's so played out.
So the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
No,
they don't like it. They hate each other when they first start.
No, okay, see, but that's the thing. Their banter is more interesting than the banter between Chip and Dale that they gave them in this movie. The banter between Chip and Dale, the chemistry between Chip and Dale is not there for me, in my personal opinion. Both Falcon and Bucky are way more complex characters. Bucky goes through being essentially a fucking killing slave. He's got a lot of shit to unpack, okay? Chip and Dale were like one of they were like child not child stars, but they were like washed up stars. That's not the same.
I'm not saying that they're the same. I'm just saying that they had a similar plot point that you're complaining about.
I mean,
about.
Yeah, sure, but that plot point has been done a million times. But if you do it a million times and the characters are interesting and compelling to watch together, then it's good. Then it's okay. It's okay. Let's watch it. But for me, this was like not it. So I have a lot of negative things to say about it. I don't know. And then like a lot of like the characters that they put in there and like the internet memes and all that stuff, like I don't give a shit about that stuff. Like it's so like it's almost too meta. Like it's almost too much. Like why are we acting like these two like all these characters like exist in present day? Like I hated that. That was so stupid. It's like the voice actors, like, maybe I could buy that, like, as normal people, and then them go into, like, a fantasy world or something like that, but, like, watching them, like, try to play off, like, all these things existing in one world was just making my head hurt, because I was like, that would literally never work. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, when he's driving the full-size car, and he's like, oh, you know they make,
chipmunk-sized
cars. There's only a giant road. Where do these chipmunk cars drive? Like
on the giant road.
Like, okay, so the big cars are going to run over them. Like,
yeah, I'll see them. It's fine. They'll go underneath. They go
slower. They're tiny. Like, yeah, see, like that just that shit like drove me insane. And that's all I could think about a lot of this movie. Ugly Sonic. What the fuck? He had such a big part.
That was the greatest.
His part in this movie was too much. I saw Ugly Sonic way too much on this thing. And I don't even get it. Like, I don't even think it was funny. It's not even funny.
I think.
Like, him being
I think
at
Ugly
the,
Sonic's pretty funny.
Him being at the convention was like, oh, okay, like, that's funny for like 2 seconds. But like, why does his... He gets brought back, and I'm just like, of all the internet memes and of all the characters, that's the one that you chose? One that you don't even own that you had to pay for to license or to put in this movie? Are you kidding me? They wasted their time.
I thought Ugly Sonic was pretty funny. The thing with Ugly Sonic specifically, first of all, that was the main cameo that was ruined for me because I follow a bunch of fucking video game nerds and everybody was like, oh my god, I can't believe, yeah, I can't believe the Ugly Sonic was in this movie. Ugly Sonic, if you don't know, when the Sonic the Hedgehog movie was first announced, the trailer that they released had this really awful design for Sonic, and everybody hated it, and the backlash was so severe that they had to go and change it to a good design. Sonic in the movies now, he looks great. He looks fantastic. But originally he had a really ugly design, and they decided that ugly Sonic design was going to be a supporting character in this movie, which is incredibly funny. But my friend David, he told me that he had read in an interview that they actually wanted, ugly Sonic was not their first choice for that role. They actually wanted it to be Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars, and Lucasfilm told them no. Which, first of all, irritates me because one, Star Wars, Lucasfilm, let Star Wars be fun. For God's sakes, make fun of yourself every once in a while. Man. All right? Maybe people would actually like Jar Jar if you let him be in, like, a fun movie. Like, maybe they would. Have some fun, for God's sakes. But two, I think the part would have been better with Jar Jar because, like, as funny as I think Ugly Sonic is, Ugly Sonic never actually made it into the Sonic movie. They changed his design. He was only in one trailer and a few promotional pictures. This joke will age the worst of any joke in the movie. Hmm. If somebody watches this movie 10 years from now, there will have probably been 5 Sonic movies that do not use this design. And everybody's just going to be like, what is this? Why is this in this movie? Because like the further we get from that first trailer, the less relevant this joke is. So this joke is really only funny now. It would have been much funnier with someone like Jar Jar Binks. You could have had Ugly Sonic, like, in the background, or be one of the other guests, but, like, you probably should have picked a different character to be in that sizable of a role. But that said, I do find it funny, because the Ugly Sonic design is funny, because it's terrible. And it's funny that design is going to live on in this movie because
in some form of media.
Because why that design has no right living on past this weird, like, did you know that they once considered a, it's so funny. I like Chip and Dale fine in this movie. I don't know how I feel about them having the celebrity voices. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like that. I understand why they did it. It was probably, you know, this is a 90-minute movie, and they're pretty much on screen the entire time. Can you have a 90-minute movie where they talk like chipmunks the whole time without people getting annoyed?
I mean, the Alvin and Chipmunks do it.
Yeah, and those movies are annoying. But I don't know that I like John Mulaney or Andy Samberg as these characters. Like, I think they do fine, but, like, they don't come off as Chip and Dale to me.
Not at all.
No.
Which, I mean, that's kind of the point, because they're actors. So, you can have somebody else play them, because you don't have any idea what Chip and Dale are like. Because they technically were playing characters on the show.
I know, but I don't
so, like that's. But that's where they were going with that.
But I do know who Chip and Dale are. That's the problem. Chip and Dale have been around for 80 goddamn years. You can't just suddenly give them new voices and then act like they've never been what they were. I don't know how I feel about that. And also, I think Chip looks pretty good. Like, it's obviously not 2D animation. It's 3D animation with, like, a cell shading on it. Because 2D animation would have cost too much and this movie would have taken too long to come out. I don't think Dale looks good. I don't like his CG design. There's something off about it, and I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint directly what I don't like, but I don't like his CG design.
Personally, I think it would have been better if they would have been brothers.
Okay, that has nothing to do with the design, but okay, go on.
No, sorry, I was just thinking about it. I just think it would have made more sense for them to be brothers, because then if you're brothers, and then you grow apart, like, that's something that actually, like, happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it would make more sense for, like, the fighting and stuff.
Uh-huh. But they're longtime best friends. They're basically like brothers.
But if they would have been brothers like they actually are.
Right. Instead of people who just met in school one day and then decided to go be actors in Hollywood.
Right.
Sure.
Like, I think they should have just kept them as brothers.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I guess I just don't think Chip and Dale are the right characters for this type of movie. And there's also this weird, like, obviously there's a lot of suspension of disbelief because you have to believe that cartoons exist in the real world, which is the same thing as, like, Roger Rabbit, right? And it works in that movie. It
works way better than this would then.
But, like, you also,
it's not just cartoon characters, because it's also, like, Muppets and, like,
it's all forms of animation.
Yeah.
Which I do like. The one advantage that this has to Roger Rabbit is that there's been so many different types of animation that have come out since then that they can reference them all and make jokes about it. I do like that. But what was I trying to say? I've completely spaced on what I was trying to say.
Then it wasn't important.
I guess not.
All right, Matt, is it a plus or a bust?
No, I was saying that I don't think they're the right characters for this kind of movie.
Oh, we were talking about how, and then you're probably going to say it should have been Darkwing Duck.
Well, I do think it should have been Darkwing Duck. But no, I just don't think, because in this world, right, the cartoons are TV stars or movie stars or whatever. It's the same as Roger Rabbit, the same kind of idea. And there's this whole long history for, like, all the characters and everything. But, like, this movie expects us to just forget about the 40 years of Chip and Dale before Rescue Rangers and the 30 years after. We are
also
supposed
old.
Huh?
How old are they? Do they not age because they're cartoons? I don't understand.
Well, they were kids in 1982.
That's exactly. So they did grow up.
Yeah, they did age. But, like, we're just supposed to ignore the fact that Chip and Dale existed before the Rescue Rangers and have successfully existed after. Like, we're just supposed to buy them as just stars of the TV show Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, it's dumb.
The movie acknowledges the character of Baloo from The Jungle Book, how he existed
before,
like, because there's the whole joke where Dale is like, oh, Baloo used to be part of the Disney Afternoon, and then he got the Jungle Book remake, and now his career's going great. And it's like, okay, so you acknowledge that Baloo had a career after the fact. But Chip and Dale, you're just ignoring their whole thing. It's also weird that, like, Baloo is the CGI Baloo, even though we reference Tailspin. So, like, It's the same Baloo from Tailspin in the CGI remake, but then also Lumiere is there, but it's just the animated Lumiere. It's not the Lumiere from the live. So Lumiere from the live action movie is not the same. And also Pumbaa from the live action movie. There's a whole lot of, if you really think about it, and obviously you're not supposed to. This movie doesn't want you to think. But if you think not about it, there's a lot of weirdness to it.
That
but
scene when the character Seth Rogen.
Uh-huh.
Plays when he's on the ground and like all the characters that he plays and like other like Pumbaa and then the thing from Kung Fu Panda and the thing from Monsters vs. Aliens are like talking over him. It's so stupid.
That seems funny and it's kind of wild because
it is funny but it's stupid.
But well, it's funny because two of them are DreamWorks characters, so like they had to make a deal with like Jeffrey Katzenberg to get like the DreamWorks characters in this movie. Which is pretty crazy.
Well, if they would have waited, then they could have put, what's his face?
Who?
Donkey Kong, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's... Is he Donkey Kong? Or
yeah,
is he...
No, he's going to be Donkey Kong.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Donkey Kong or Bowser.
Not a chance Nintendo let them put Donkey Kong in this movie. But yeah, I just don't think Chip and Dale were right for this movie. And even if it was... Even if you are going to use Chip and Dale and it's going to be a Rescue Rangers movie, like, I do like that they are solving, like, a crime because that is, like, a Rescue Rangers thing. But I kind of wish that the crime wasn't, let's find the other Rescue Rangers. Why couldn't it have been all of the Rescue Rangers solving a crime? Even if it has to take place in this world, why is it just Chip and Dale? Why is it that they were estranged? And, like, why is it that, like, we have to save Monty, who's been kidnapped, and then Gadget and Zipper are just not going to be in this movie until the very end of it? Like,
yeah.
I would have much preferred it be an actual Rescue Rangers movie instead of just a Chip and Dale movie where the Rescue Rangers are in it occasionally. Or just don't use Chip and Dale at all. Like Nikki said, I think Darkwing Duck, as much as I kind of don't think that any of those kind of characters should be in this kind of movie, I feel like Darkwing Duck would have maybe worked better as the lead, because Darkwing Duck is a very... He's a selfish character. He does things for his own gain. Like, he becomes a superhero to, like, get admiration and, like, be, like, liked by people. Like, that's his whole thing. He wants the acknowledgement. So, like, I could see a cynical character fitting into this more cynical world like Darkwing Duck a little bit better than Chip and Dale, who are supposed to be these, like, nice, sincere characters, even though all they do in this movie is fight with each other. And that's something that I'm sick of as well. Not the them fighting, but I am sick of all these, like, reboots or remakes or, like, continuations of movies that are about characters you know, but they don't talk to each other anymore, so they gotta get the team back together.
Yeah.
The Muppets. We gotta
get the team back together.
Yeah,
Every element about this movie is the same that they've done a million times.
The Muppets 2011 was that. That was about getting the gang back together. Space Jam, A New Legacy, which this movie has a lot of parallels to. This movie's better than Space Jam, A New Legacy.
I think I liked Space Jam better.
Space Jam's terrible.
I don't think it was terrible.
It's pretty bad. That movie is also about getting the gang back together.
That movie is basically just this movie.
No, I feel like this movie, compared to Space Jam, I feel like this movie at least has a story. That movie does not have a story. I feel like this movie, the cameos and references at least...
Somebody gets lost. There's like a... There's a mystery. He doesn't know where he goes, right? Oh, wait, no, there's a bad guy. I don't know. It's not that different.
It's pretty different. And in this movie, I feel like the cameos and references at least serve a purpose. The cameos and references in Space Jam 2 show up.
Cameos and references do not serve a purpose.
The cameos and references in Space Jam 2 don't serve a purpose. They all show up at the very end for no reason.
I'm not saying that they do serve a purpose, but I'm saying this one, it's not. What does Ugly Sonic have to do with Rescue Rangers?
Nothing, but.
Exactly! What does Tigra have to do with Rescue Rangers? Nothing!
They just wanted to use a Marvel character.
Exactly. Like this, it doesn't have anything to do with it half the time.
But they're in a world where cartoons
they don't
exist,
even use,
so they
like,
have actual
other
cartoon characters.
Disney Afternoon characters.
Scrooge shows up one time.
Yeah, like for 2 seconds. Like yeah. That one made the most sense, and it was you pan by him. Like it's.
What did you say?
What's his name shows up too at the end.
Who?
My gosh. What's it called? The cat?
Oh, Bonkers.
Bonkers.
Bonkers is one of the... He's been bootlegged. Yeah, he shows up at the end. A lot of people said this movie should have been a Bonkers movie, because Bonkers is already a movie or a TV show that takes place with, well, yeah, it's a cop who is a toon in the real world.
Right.
The difference is nobody likes Bonkers. So that's why they went with Chip and Dale.
Bonkers.
But I mean, not all the cameos serve a purpose, but like some of the cameos are so funny. I think the scene with like He-Man and Skeletor, I think that scene is so funny. There's a fucking cameo from Stan's dad from South Park. It's in this movie. Like,
you're right. That's funny.
I think that's really funny. Like, I can't believe they put a South Park character in this movie. There's like the bootleg Simpsons. That's super funny. I don't know. I think it is a lot of like look and see what weird cameos we put in it. But I think for a lot of them work and they're funny. And I think it at least tells a story. It might be a predictable story, but it at least tells a story. I feel like Space Jam 2 doesn't tell any kind of story.
Mm.
It starts with a story. The middle part is just nothing. And then it ends with the dad and son making up. Like 40 minutes of that is like a basketball game that we know how it's going to end.
You know how this movie's going to end, too.
Mm. I mean, yeah, but we know that they're going to save money, but we don't know how they're gonna save money.
Oh my god. Hmm? Stop trying to rationalize it.
Well, my thing is,
I'm sure that as I many people have it. The same affection for this as other people did for Space Jam. That's all I'm saying. I would not say that one or the other is necessary. I enjoyed Space Jam more when I watched it. This, I enjoyed the trailer. And then actually watching the movie, I'm like, what the fuck? The whole time.
Well, I didn't like Space Jam. We got to talk about Peter Pan, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff to unpack there, unfortunately. But let's talk about Gadget and Zipper.
Hmm.
So fucking weird.
Debatably the funniest joke in the entire movie, in my opinion.
It's not funny, okay? How dare they pair her with Zipper?
That's why it's funny. Gadget is arguably the most popular character from the original Rescue Rangers.
Also, just to preface that, I don't care. That was a joke. About all the fucking weirdos out there.
She's obviously the most popular character on the original show, and like a lot of people have like childhood crushes on Gadget, the same way that a lot of people have childhood crushes on Robin Hood from Disney's Robin Hood, or whatever, whoever the fucking Scar's son from The Lion King 2.
Kovu,
the way people have a crush on Kovu.
Watching him, I put on Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers earlier, like the TV show, to see if it would catch Alexander's attention. He watched it for a few minutes. But like, it was the very first episode. And even in that one, it was like Chip and Dale were also like fawning over her.
Yeah, that was like a running thing on the show, was they would fight over her and like be like flirtatious with her. Nothing ever became of that, but like there's a lot of people that have a lot of affection for Gadget in some probably unhealthy ways, but a lot of people have affection for Gadget. But the fact that this movie goes out of its way to basically make fun of those people by pairing Gadget with the least likely member of the Rescue Rangers, to me, is very funny. The fact that they made her and Zipper have 42 kids, that's a little odd. They're little mutant children that they have. It's a little weird. But I do think that joke is pretty funny. The bigger problem I have with that is that, like, I felt like they came up with that joke and that was it. They didn't know what else to do with Gadget or Zipper. They don't show up again until the end. And, like, there's even a line where Dale's like, oh, Gadget, I can't believe you know how to fly this thing. And she's like, yeah, I guess my character on the show and my character in real life are basically exactly the same. And it's like, oh, you guys didn't even know how to write this character, so you didn't bother.
Hey.
Cool. Thanks. Telling me, once again, that this probably shouldn't have been a Rescue Rangers movie if you didn't even know how to use the Rescue Rangers themselves. They do a little bit better with Monty, but he's also barely in the movie. Like, mm-hmm. He's just the thing they have to go save. And, like, I just wish they would have been a team. Like, even if they have to do the dumb plot of them having to get the team back together, I wish they would have solved the crime together. Instead, there's, like, this human character who is their, like, sidekick who, like, helps solve the crime. And, like, she's fine, but, like, I don't necessarily care about her any more than I care about any of the other characters. I just wish it would have been the Rescue Rangers. If you're going to make a Rescue Rangers movie, make it about the Rescue Rangers. But I guess we got to talk about Peter Pan. So the main villain of this film is Peter Pan. He has grown up. He's now a little bit more heavy set, a little bit more rough and tumble. He runs like an underground
bootlegging
business, multiple businesses, really. He makes the porta potties, and then he also runs a business where he bootlegs existing cartoon characters to have them act in bootleg animated movies. Now, I think that is pretty funny. The shots of like all the like fake titles, the like bedroom, the boy from the who flew through the bedroom, or the little fish girl or whatever. I think that's very funny because movies like that do exist. So I think that's pretty funny. And I understand why they would go with somebody like Peter Pan. He's clearly the most iconic, like, Disney child character. And it is funny, the idea of a grown man wearing the Peter Pan suit and, like, Peter Pan having, like, facial hair and being, like, all gruff and stuff. And I think Will Arnett's performance is probably the best performance in the movie. I think he's very funny. I understand why they would go with Peter Pan. And I think there is some humor there. The tragic part of it, however, is the fact that it unfortunately mirrors the real-world situation with Peter Pan's voice actor, Bobby Driscoll. Bobby Driscoll was a child actor who was in a few things before being signed on to the Disney company. He worked in a few different Disney movies, including the Treasure Island. He played the main character, Jim Hawkins, in Treasure Island in the early 1950s. As he got older, he was signed on to play Peter Pan. He voiced Peter Pan in the Disney animated classic. Unfortunately, by that point, he had gotten a little too old. He was a teenager now, his voice has changed, and he had a really bad case of acne. Before Peter Pan was even released, they were scheduled to extend his contract for another 3 years, and they decided not to do it. Disney cut him loose. He was no longer employed with the Walt Disney Company. Bobby Driscoll had a real hard time finding work after that, and many of the shows or movies that he would appear in, he had to wear a lot of makeup because, like I said, he had a real bad acne problem. The unfortunate thing is he is a child star who just fell for all the trappings of being a child star. He got addicted to narcotics, addicted to drugs, and he died at the age of 31 because of heart failure related to a drug problem. Peter Pan's backstory in this movie is that he was a child actor who got old and they cut him loose and was no longer being hired to be in movies. Seems more than coincidental that is the route they took. Now I'll give the writers and even the director the benefit of the doubt, because they are all this thing with Bobby Driscoll happened, you know, 20, 30 years before they were born. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they just thought that Peter Pan would be a funny character for that to happen to.
Did you know about this, or did you read about it on Twitter?
I knew about it, but like it's something I hadn't thought about in a long time. Mm. But I've heard the story of Bobby Driscoll before. So like I'll give the writers and stuff the benefit of the doubt, but
somebody
at Disney knows this, because there are Disney historians that work for Disney that know this, and somebody should have shot this down in the writing room. Like, if we could shoot down Jar Jar Binks, a character who nobody but Lucasfilm is going to get mad is being in this film, why didn't we shoot down Peter Pan as the main character, the main villain? Just pick a different kid character.
Could have even been Tinkerbell.
It could have been Wendy.
Could have been Wendy.
Like, it didn't have to be a male. It could have been Pooh, like,
Bear's not a male now. Just make it Pooh Bear.
Yeah, sure. It could have been Alice from Alice in Wonderland. Somebody suggested it should have been a real boy Pinocchio, who, like, after he becomes a real boy, he realizes that he can grow up and isn't cute anymore. I think that would have been even funnier.
I think so, too.
So I just think it's incredibly insensitive, and it just doesn't seem like the kind of thing that Disney would let slide in this day and age.
Not to mention, though, even if it's not Peter Pan, do you know how many Disney stars, like, just child Disney stars fall into the same pattern?
Not even just Disney.
Huh?
And not even just Disney.
Well, I know, but this is a Disney movie, so I'm just saying, like, you're kind of fucking not making fun of, but, like, that's a slap in the face to, like, any child star that you've ever had work for you that found themselves in the wrong situation when they grow up. Like, it's happened to so many of them. So it's just, it's, when you know about the story behind it, it's just, it's incredibly tone deaf and insensitive and just, like, I don't know. I already didn't like this movie, but then that just makes me, like, great. Now I really don't like this movie.
I feel like Disney just wanted to, like, poke fun at themselves. And, like, you'll notice that, like, even though this is a movie that's, like, very meta, there's not a whole lot of, like, the big Disney characters.
No.
In it. Right? You'll notice that there ain't no Mickey and Friends.
No.
Right? Pooh Bear only shows up as, like, a weird, like, bootleg version of Pooh Bear. Right? Flounder's in it. No Ariel. Mm-hmm. Lumiere's in it. No Belle or Beast. So, like, I think they were kind of Peter Pan is, like, the biggest character in it. And I feel like they were kind of throwing him a bone with it. But, like, somebody should have stepped in. I saw somebody else suggest that maybe the villain should have been Oswald. And he was mad that they replaced, that he was replaced by Mickey Mouse.
That would have been awesome.
Which I think is a pretty funny choice, too. But, yeah, that's just...
I don't know, call me crazy when people are making better suggestions than the movie. Maybe the movie's not that good.
It's just an unfortunate thing. But, like, otherwise, like, this movie, it was written and directed by the Lonely Island people. Lonely Island, they're from SNL. Obviously, Andy Samberg is from SNL. You might remember them from their famous rap songs like I'm on a Boat from 12 years ago.
I love The Lonely Island.
So if you like The Lonely Island and you like their sense of humor, you will like this movie because there are a lot of moments in it that are definitely Lonely Island inspired. There's a scene where Chippendale rap and it's a really terrible rap.
That, oh my god, so bad.
That's such a Lonely Island thing. Like, so like, that's pretty funny. If you like The Lonely Island, you'll find this movie. You'll probably like this movie better than most people.
Oh.
That makes sense as to why Brady likes it.
Yeah.
I think there are funny things in it. I just think that there's a lot of just weirdness to it that, like...
Is that necessary?
Yeah, there's just a lot of weird decisions. There's, like... People wanted to compare it to Roger Rabbit, and, like, I understand why you would want to do that, because it has a similar premise to, like... real people and toons living in the same world. And like I said, there's been so many different animation styles since the Roger Rabbit that, like, I think them going to, like, the Uncanny Valley is so funny. Like, with, like, the cats in the alley and, like, Seth Rogen's character and how he has, like, the dead eyes. Like, I think that's super funny. But, like, Roger Rabbit is such a sincere, earnest movie that, like, really respects animation. And, like, not that I don't think the people that made this don't respect animation, but it is also much more cynical because it was released at a much more cynical time. We're just cynical, and millennials are gonna write cynical movies. Unfortunately, the world gives us no reason to be anything but cynical, so there's a real cynicism to this movie, and I just feel like it doesn't fit Chip and Dale. And, like, part of me wonders why Disney would even, like, greenlight something like this to begin with.
Like, to get hip with us, because I think this is what we want to see.
I mean, to a certain extent it is. It's just, like, it could have been better.
Mm.
I don't dislike it. There's things in it I really like. I think the Gadget and Zipper stuff is so funny. I don't know. I'm conflicted on this one.
Mm. I'm not.
I know you're not. I'm trying to think if there was any other, like, funny cameos I wanted to point out.
If you don't remember them, they're obviously not that funny.
Fast and Furious Babies.
Oh, yeah, the Fast and Furious Babies is pretty funny. Oh, Batman versus...
Ant-Man.
Which one?
E.T.
Ant-Man.
Oh, Ant-Man was pretty funny. No, Batman versus E.T. is the most wild one. Because, like, that's...
E.T.
forgives you.
Batman.
That's the wildest one, because Warner Brothers and Universal are like their biggest competition, and E.T. and Batman are just in this movie. They're just in the movie.
See, I
so briefly, but they're just in it.
I didn't find that funny.
It's so funny. Why is that not funny? Why didn't you find that funny?
Because it was stupid. It
was so random. Like, why Batman and E.T.?
I don't know.
I thought the Batman versus E.T. thing was hilarious. I thought that was one of the funniest things in the movie. I also think Chip having a dog as a pet.
Because, like you said, there's no rhyme or reason for Batman versus E.T. Like, what is
the point?
That's the
joke. That's the joke, though. The joke is that it doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, that doesn't make it funny, though.
I thought it was funny.
Well, comedy is subjective.
Yeah, exactly. I think the randomness of it is funny. Sometimes random is funny. Sometimes it's just random.
But I feel like it's too much random. It's too much stuff that's just there. Just, they literally, what they did was they put out call after call after call, and they were like, which character are they gonna let us use? They literally just threw it out there, and then whoever said yes, they threw them in there, and like, that's it. There was no, like, there's no level to the joke. They didn't put Tigra in because once upon a time Tigra had something to do with Rescue Rangers or something. Like, there's no Ugly Sonic. What does Ugly Sonic have to do with Rescue Rangers?
It's just absolutely a funny nothing. joke. It's just a funny joke.
It's too random.
It's a funny joke. Sometimes random is funny. I like random. I don't know that I need a whole movie of random, but I like random.
Mm-mm. I feel like you're grasping on because you have nostalgia for the Disney afternoon and the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah,
but
I do.
Let go, Matt.
If this is what's going to keep them alive, then then I got to support it.
I don't know. This is like, to me, it's like disrespectful.
I didn't think it was disrespectful. But it is not what I would want out of a Rescue Rangers reboot.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like the trailer sold it as way more of that than whatever this was.
This was a meta. It was a meta movie. I mean, I would prefer a DuckTales 2017 reboot of Rescue Rangers than this. But I mean, if it's what's going to keep the characters around.
Keep the characters around? It's Chip and Dale. They've been around for, like,
I mean the other characters.
But they're not the Rescue Rangers in this movie. They're not. But they're the actors of them. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
Chip
but
and
Gadget,
Dale.
She said it herself. She's the same.
Okay, well, but Chip and Dale didn't say that.
I guess.
They didn't, did they act like Chip and Dale in the show?
No. Not really.
Okay.
I mean,
so then it's not really a Rescue Rangers movie at all, because it's not, like, the same character.
They did in the sense that Chip is the straight man and Dale's the, like, goofball, I guess.
I thought it was funny when Chip ran through the Indiana Jones.
Oh, and put on the Indiana Jones outfit?
We're looking for a disguise, and then he ends up with his...
He ends up with the exact outfit that he wears on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But that was in the trailer, too.
Yeah.
The only last thing I'll say, and then we'll end it, and this is just because I'm just remembering it now. The puppet that Keegan Michael Key plays that runs the cheese store, I'm 100% convinced that was supposed to be the Swedish chef, and somebody said no. His name is Bjornsson. He's got, like, a Swedish name. He occasionally speaks in gibberish before he, like, turns to, like, be the, like, bad, like, you guys cops. He's speaking in, like, a Swedish accent. He's a puppet, a chef puppet with, like, bushy eyebrows. I'm 100% convinced he was supposed to be the Swedish chef. And then somebody found out that, like, he was supposed to basically be a drug dealer. And somebody at Henson said no. Or at the Muppet Studio said no, you cannot use the Swedish chef for this joke. We are not allowing this character to be a drug dealer. But I do find that funny. And I wish they did, because, like, the scene right before that where they're walking down Main Street, basically Disneyland's Main Street, that was also pretty funny. They mentioned that somebody is, like, selling Muppet fights. They mentioned the Muppets, but the Muppets are never in this movie. I think he was supposed to be a Muppet. That's my conspiracy theory on this movie.
I could see that.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll end it because I'm fucking sweating so hard in this room.
You've also been
so
talking
hot
about this movie for, like, 53 minutes.
It has not been 53
minutes. Well, you've been talking about this movie for a long time.
It has not been that long. Also, your daughter
minutes.
Interrupted for a little bit.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
Not nearly as much as she has in the past.
Mm. All right, we'll end it. Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers, plus or bust, Brady.
It's a plus.
Oh, boy. Nikki, plus or bust.
I'm going to give it a plus, but like I said, I don't think I would watch it again.
So then it's not a plus.
No. I wouldn't tell somebody else not to watch it.
Got it. Krista, we already know your answer, but go ahead and tell us anyway.
It's a bus. Wow. I will never watch this movie ever again, and I would not recommend it to anybody.
Well, I watched it twice.
You're gonna give it a plus.
I am out gonna of give it a nostalgia. Plus because it's the Rescue Rangers. They're in it. They're in it, Krista. They're there though. They're my friends. They're there.
Oh my god.
Look, if you like The Lonely Island, you will find this movie funny. There are funny things in this movie. There's a lot of stupid things in this movie, but there are funny things in this movie. If you're just a fan of animation, you want to see all the cameos, I think you'll get a kick out of it. But, you know, go in with caution, knowing that you might be like Krista and find it incredibly stupid. So, there's a certain audience for this movie.
Yeah, very specific.
The internet audience.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew.
Yep. We're going to end it, but we are back to random this week because nothing major. Well, I mean, Obi-Wan is coming out, but that's just the first two episodes.
I hope we get something good.
What would you like it to not be?
I would like for it to not be a stupid old movie.
Okay, what's a movie that you do want it to be? What's the number one movie you would want it to be?
Like a big one. Like a, I don't know, Frozen.
Wow.
Or like Moana or... we haven't done Sleeping Beauty yet.
No.
Sleeping Beauty.
Nikki, what's a movie you hope would come up?
The Parent Trap, either one.
Brady, what would you...
Or Freaky Friday.
If the Parent Trap or Freaky Friday comes up, are we watching both?
There's three Freaky Fridays, isn't there?
Oh, is there? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is.
God, what would we do there?
I don't know about that.
Brady, what's a movie you wish would show up?
I don't know. It's a hard question. Any of the Stitch movies.
Ooh, there's plenty of those. All right, we're doing it.
Great.
Cars 4.
Oh, no.
Restart.
I really don't want to watch this movie.
It's a big one. It's just celebrating an anniversary.
One, but I don't care about this movie. I haven't even watched it.
Goofy?
No. Actually, the anniversary would have been...
Alone Stitch?
No, the anniversary would have been last year. It's Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Oh.
Oh, I haven't watched that movie.
I don't know that I've ever seen it either, to be honest with you.
I thought you have watched it.
I know there's Nazis in it.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
They're the bad guys. It's okay. We want to see them get punched. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. They wanted this movie to be the second Mary Poppins. So bad. It is a pretty beloved movie, but I don't think it ever became the Mary Poppins they wanted it to be. I'm looking forward to watching it. Good people in that movie. We'll see if it holds up. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Plus or Bust a Disney Podcast. If you liked it, be sure to like, subscribe, follow, leave a review, whatever it is you do on your various podcast apps. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Plus or Bust. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Disney Plus or Bust. Send us an email, DisneyPlusOrBust@gmail.com. You can find all those things in the description below. And we will see you next week with Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Until then, what are you showing me? That she liked Finding Nemo better than Toy Story 2?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm showing you her answer.
Okay. Until next time. Oh, it's also funny that the theme song was redone by Post Malone.
Oh my god!
I thought that was pretty funny.
I like it.
Chippendale.
Oh my god!
I thought it was funny.
Bye.
Bye.